before I get into preaching this morning. One is, I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. Did it go good? Good. And secondly, and I meant to mention this earlier, I want to recognize the people that spent pretty much the entire day here yesterday doing all the Christmas decorations. And the primary architect behind this was Laurie Gonder. And she was here with Ben and Christina Clark and her husband, James, otherwise known as Jimmy. And they were here, and Irene, I think, was here for part of the day, too. But really, we need to offer them a round of applause because they spent the entire day here yesterday. And it looks great, Laurie. Thank you so much. And also, she's not here. My wife's upstairs right now with the kids, but she did a great job upstairs, too, decorating the kids' rooms for the season as well. But this looks so nice. Thank you, Laurie. Okay. Well, this morning, as you know, or may not know, but you will know in a few minutes if you don't know already, today is the first of the four Sundays leading up to Christmas and culminating on Christmas Day, which in the historic church calendar we call the season of Advent. And we're going to mark this season with a simple series that I hope is going to help us to understand and embrace what receiving the blessing of Christ's love at Christmas really is all about, because that's the season we're moving into. And in fact, that's going to be kind of like the overarching title for the series over the next 4 weeks. You're going to receive a devotional booklet as a companion to the series, just as you did during the Advent season last year. And again, it's produced by the Vineyard. And this is a great boon to pastors when they produce something like this, because it comes with a series of kind of ready-made outlines for the sermon. That doesn't happen very often. So anyway, you will be receiving that. I had hoped that they would be here so that we could distribute those devotional booklets to you today. They didn't arrive in time, so we'll get them to you and we'll hand those out next Sunday. But the messages will track with the devotionals, and much of the content will be found there, or if it's not found there explicitly, will echo what is there. So as you read and meditate and pray on those devotionals through the Advent season, it'll kind of reinforce what we're talking about on Sunday. But as we embark on this simple series, I just want to say a few things by way of introduction this morning that are important. The first is, wherever you live in the world, basically Christmas is in the air right now. It amazes me how quickly that transition takes place, although these days it's not so much a transition. It's like they're already putting up the stuff for Christmas before Thanksgiving has happened. There used to be more of a kind of like flip from one to the other. Now they're kind of merging into one. You know, the trees are up, the decorations, people are out shopping. If any of you were a part of the insanity on Black... No, had the opportunity to go out on Black Friday, so-called. And I must admit, I did for some of the time. People are out shopping with energy and enthusiasm. The Christmas music's playing. And, you know, Christmas is in the air, the season, the festivities. But ultimately, this season really is... in truth, a season of the heart. And the central theme and the message, actually, of much of what you hear on radio and television and in churches centers around the kind of mystical topic of love. And that's kind of, love is kind of an elusive term, actually. It means many things to different people. But it remains true that experiencing love, being warmed, if you like, by love and sharing in love is the idea that connects deeply with people's emotional center. We may not know exactly what love is, but we often know it when we experience it, when we see it firsthand. The second thing I want you to know as we go into this season by way of introduction is that love actually comes to us in the Advent season. That word Advent, we talked about this a little bit last year, literally means the coming, the coming. This is the season of the coming. Christmas is about love coming to find us. Each of us, right where we are. So the Advent season is the season of the coming of love to find each person exactly where they are. And in this short series we're going to do about deeply experiencing that love is really what we're going to focus on as we move from now up until Christmas. So while, you know, people are out wandering the malls and surfing the web in this season and searching for the perfect Christmas presents for those they love, the story of the incarnation in the Bible reveals to us something about the perfect gift from God, the one that God chose for each one of us, actually for each person. That gift, which we're also going to describe in this series as the blessing, is a specific kind of love that God offers and secures for each person in Christ. There's no greater gift on planet Earth that could be given by God to us than His love. Love that heals, love that forgives, love that saves, affirms, and ultimately changes us from the inside out. That's really what the Advent season is about. It's about the coming of that love that touches us in all of those ways and changes us from the inside out. Yet the truth is this, the most devoted of us, and most of the people in this room this morning, maybe all of us, but certainly most of the people that are in this room that I know, already have a relationship with Jesus. There is a level of devotion in our lives to the Lord. But even the most devoted of us don't always look for the kind of love that we need and that's available to us in the person of Jesus. No matter how much we sing the Christmas carols and listen to the lofty sermons that are preached, so often the faintest imitations of love can capture our attention. And not just our attention, they can capture our affections and kind of disorient us, actually, spiritually, from the most magnificent love which is found in the Lord and in an encounter with Jesus. And I think that the thing that God most wants us to experience in this season now, in addition to all the other wonderful things that go on in this season, is a personal encounter, fresh encounter with His love. Because that's why He really came in the first place. So that no despair, no loneliness, no fear can actually stand against the force of God's love. God's love is the strongest reality that there is. Nothing is stronger than the love of God. Remember, the scripture says in 1 John 4:8 that God is love. It speaks to the very nature of who God is. And when that love touches the core of our identity, it does something transformative in our lives. It brings us to a place where we realize the power of God's unconditional acceptance, the reality of His unfailing affirmation over our lives. So many of us know what is among the most well-known verses in the Bible, and, you know, this verse, I usually mention it a few times during the year, but it's become so familiar to us that sometimes I think we kind of, you know how familiarity can breed contempt? And sometimes we can, not meaning to be, not wanting to be, but we can just get familiar with a passage of Scripture and actually treat it in a kind of contemptuous way, like, been there, done that, bought the T-shirt, I've heard it 1,000 times. But when it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, that is an expression of what this Advent season really is all about. Jesus is the love of God expressed to us. And it's what we celebrate at Christmas. The third thing I want you to recognize is this, that there is a love deficit within. There's a love deficit within. Love expressed and love given doesn't necessarily mean love received. Let me say that again. Love expressed and love given doesn't necessarily mean love received. You can love someone, give your love to someone, extend your love to someone, but they may repel that. They may not necessarily receive that love. And I would dare say that all of us in life at some time have experienced extending love to someone and that love not being received, say nothing of being reciprocated. And maybe there has been times when love's been extended to us and we've not been in a place where we were willing to receive it and embrace it. So love expressed and love given doesn't necessarily mean love received. It's kind of a little bit like rain when it falls on a very hard ground that's resistant and repels it. And instead of seeping in, it just kind of runs off. And all of us have learned how love works, at least from a natural perspective. Because all of us in this room have grown up to some degree in the context of families. And in some families, love is given lavishly. There are people here this morning who will have grown up in families where love was just lavished on you. It was just given freely. Even when you didn't do things that you should have done. Even when you weren't the way that your mom and dad wanted you to be. Still, you knew that there was a bedrock foundation of love in that family, and that love was lavished on you. It didn't mean that it didn't come with some discipline, because we know in Hebrews that God loves his kids, but he still disciplines them. But some people have been raised in families where love was just freely given. It was lavished on you. Others, though, grew up in families where that was not the experience. Far from love being lavished on you, it was either perhaps not present, or if it was present, it was very conditional. And it was dished out based on your behavior, based on you meeting certain conditions, based on your performance within the context of the family. The truth is, though, whatever kind of context we grew up in, whatever love looked like in the context of our family, most of us know intuitively that there is this pure, better form of love, what the Bible refers to really as a holy love. And sometimes we see it, most notably on the earth, in a compelling bond between two people, perhaps in a marriage or in a friendship. And the Bible speaks about both of those. This Christmas time really is the story of how that love made itself known to us. You know, even as Christians, we can silently struggle in our own hearts at times to receive the love of God. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. My own hands would go up right off the bat if I did. But you know that this is true. At times, even as believers, even of those as those who have been touched by the love and grace of God, sometimes we find it difficult to receive that love that God has for us. And many, many in Christ, they kind of settle for a life of loveless faith. They don't expect really much in terms of God's affections for them. They don't expect God to really reach in with his love and touch them in a way where they can palpably feel that love having an impact in the depths of their heart. You know, like the warmth that you get when you gather around a fire on a cold night. That kind of idea. And yet the Bible says that our God is a consuming fire in Hebrews 12:29. Our God is a consuming fire. That fire, that consuming fire, is the power of God's love and affection. Why is it so hard to receive love? Well, the bottom line is that human beings are broken. They're kind of broken on the inside. We are broken in our natural state. Our capacity to love and to be loved is damaged. In a sense, people are love challenged, if I can put it that way. This season of Advent is about the greatest of loves breaking through, touching, and transforming our brokenness. And Jesus is the blessing of God to you and me and to each person at Christmas. God knew this love challenge state existed in us. This wasn't a surprise to him. It's been there pretty much from the beginning, from what the Bible describes as the fall and is recounted for us in the early chapters of Genesis. And it's for this reason that something emerges in the Bible that we can describe as the concept of blessing. The concept of blessing. And that concept of blessing runs right through the scriptural canon. The idea of blessing. A blessing can be described, if you want to put it this way, practically, as God's love with skin on it. And actually, that's a great definition for thinking about the expression of the blessing of Christ at Christmas time or in the Advent season. It's God's love taking shape in a way that we could understand and touch and see and relate to. And so it was no longer just a concept. It was made real in a person. There's nothing more powerful than when something is activated in a life. A tangible expression. You know, love has lots of characteristics. If I asked this morning, if I had a whiteboard here and I just said, you know, give me a characteristic of love, and we went around the room, I'm sure I'd you know, be writing here for a long time. There are lots of characteristics that we can associate with love. But some of those are these: affection, affirmation, commitment, consistency, selflessness, presence. Presence is an expression of love. Unconditional acceptance. The Christian story, the Advent season, is about the most powerful expression of all these characteristics of love. The most powerful expression of love in all of human history is what we're really celebrating in this season in the person of Jesus. God expressed his love to men and women in terms of a blessing that was physical, personal, and prophetic. All summed up in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the blessing of God given to you and me at this season. And all that he is ours. That's the glory of the promise of the blessing in Christ. So, this season is about experiencing Christ's love, Christ's blessing. You know, that triumphant pronouncement of God's love, when we read the scriptural passages that relate to that, We have angel choirs filling the sky, pronouncing the coming of God's love. We have a young virgin worshiping God at the news that she is pregnant through the Holy Spirit, a miraculous conception. We have wise men coming with gifts and bowing down in praise and adoration and offering gifts to the king that didn't look like a king. All of that because of the reality of the incarnation of God's love. So this Christmas, I want you to recognize that God's blessing has already come. Sometimes as Christians, we're always looking for the next blessing. Let me just remind our hearts this morning, the blessing with a capital B has already come. Every future blessing you have is rooted in the blessing that's already come. Paul says we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. That blessing came 2,000 years ago, and it's reverberating down through history from then until now. And will do until he comes again in a very different way than he came the first time around. But the blessing has already come in Christ. And every subsequent blessing is rooted in the reality of that revelation, that unveiling, that incarnation of Jesus. So remember, this season, we are celebrating the watershed moment of the blessing that came in Christ. And we can welcome Jesus into the rugged places of our heart again in this season. This is not supposed to be a season of sentimentality. This is a season of substantial encounter with the living Christ. That's what it's meant to be. And with the love that he expresses in only the way that he really can. At least to the degree that he can. He is Emmanuel with us, is what we're told in the scripture in this season. So, we are loved, you are loved. Basically, that's the end of the story, but it's the beginning of the Christmas story, and it's the beginning of what God wants to do in us. And I want you to see this before I finish this morning, that receiving that love and the blessing of Christ's love at this Christmas season means receiving the blessing of the living water. John records in his gospel this, that there was a day where Jesus came to Jacob's well, and he'd been on a journey, and he was tired and hot and dusty, and he sat down at Jacob's well, and he was obviously thirsty and tired from his journey, and the scripture says that, and along comes a Samaritan woman, and she's going to draw water from the well, and Jesus basically asks her for a drink, and she turns around to him, and she points out to him the fact that she's a Samaritan and a woman, and that he's a Jew and a man, and that, you know, how can he be asking her to get him a drink? It broke every social and religious taboo. And Jesus turned around to her, and this is what he said. John records it like this. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God," look at those three words. If you knew the gift of God. If you knew the gift of God. And who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. In this Advent and in this Christmas season, Christ comes to you and me as living water. Water that saturates the dry ground of our heart, that satisfies us with his affection, with his love. He has set his affections upon you. He does that in three distinct ways, and I'm going to just go through these very briefly and end out this morning. The first is, Christ is the living water that quenches. Isaiah the prophet said this, speaking of the messianic moment that we mark in celebration now during this season. He said, and that which is to come, prophetically, he said, Christ will turn the desert into pools of water. That a future time will come when God will turn the desert into pools of water. You'll find that in Isaiah 41:18. And he's referring to a future time marked in present by what we're celebrating in this season, the coming of Jesus. But he's saying there will be a time in the future when God will turn the desert into places of water, pools of water. It's a prophetic picture of what Jesus will do in the future, but it's also the reality of what God will do in our hearts in the present. In all of our lives, in each of our lives, at times, there are kind of desert places in the heart where we need the quenching love of God's affection. You know, in this season, people will try to quench that thirst and that affection in different ways. They will give and receive presents and get some new toys. They'll surround themselves with family and friends. They'll celebrate. They'll celebrate and share in the festivities and everything that goes on in the season. And all of those things are good things to do. I'm not knocking any of that. I'll do all those things. Okay, those are good things to do. But however much joy those things bring, it is temporary. The presents are given and received, and we move on. The family and friends, they come to visit, and they move on. The celebrations and the festivities, they come to an end. Our thirst for affection isn't actually going to be satisfied by any of those things or a thousand more that we could name. The thirst for love that is present in every heart is truly only satisfied when that heart has an encounter with Jesus. And I'm not just talking about at the moment of saving faith. That's huge and that's significant and that gets us on the journey with Jesus. But to be sustained in that journey, we need to be encountering his love daily. It's not supposed to be one time thing that we look back on. Our testimony isn't supposed to be a reference to what happened way back there then only. Our testimony is supposed to be of a living encounter with the loving Lord. We need to know this if we don't know him, and we need to know this if we do know him. Because this season is both a revelation and a reminder to us. Even as followers of Jesus, we can try to quench those desert places of our heart with something or someone other than him. We need to be reminded in this season that the gift of God is expression that Jesus used when he met that Samaritan woman. If you knew the gift of God, we need to be reminded in this season that he is the gift of God. And that as the gift of God, he is what he described to her himself as being living water. The Spirit of God lives in you and in me. And he will cause us, and he longs to cause us, to experience the love of God, the affections of Christ, to use Paul's phrase, so that they will saturate and satisfy our lives. And where we're parched, the love of God will come in and water that dry place. You know, Jesus, like nobody, can turn the desert of despair in someone's life into a pool of hope. He can turn the desert of fear into a pool of faith. He can turn a desert of loneliness into a place of secure acceptance. And he does it all through his love. He said this, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water flow from within him. Your inheritance in Christ is now. is to have streams of living water flowing from within. Daily. Daily satiating. Daily satisfying. Daily saturating your life. He wants that for you in this season. He actually wants that for you in every season of your life, not just during Advent. Secondly, Christ is the living water that softens. Jesus doesn't just quench dry places in our heart. He softens the hard places in our heart. You know, so often in life, we allow our hearts to become hard. And that can happen in all kinds of ways. Sometimes it's the product of, you know, just the hard knocks that we take in life. And we develop a hard shell around our heart. Or we get hurt just one too many times. Or we get disappointed one too many times. Or we get criticized one too many times. Or we get angry one too many times. Or whatever it is. And we decide, you know what? The best thing to do is develop a thick skin and a hard heart. Because when I do that, I can protect myself. I'm no longer vulnerable then to the disappointments that come. I'm no longer vulnerable to the hurts that others inflict or their criticisms. I'm no longer vulnerable. I can protect myself. The truth is this, as I was thinking about that this week, a hard heart doesn't protect us. It simply encases us in our hurt, in our disappointments, and in our anger. And whatever else it is that we've given place to. Listen to me this morning. A hard heart does not protect you. Don't buy into that lie. It doesn't. It just encases you in your hurt, in your disappointment, in your anger, or whatever it is that you've given a place to. Hard hearts get broken by the stuff of life because they do not have the capacity to absorb the shock when it comes. They're calloused and they're brittle, and as such, when stuff comes down the pike, they get broken. And that's not God's intention for us as those that are in Christ. In this Advent story and in this Advent season, God wants to bring living water, fresh, into our hearts, to soften our hearts so that we will have the capacity. A soft heart before God will have the capacity to absorb the shocks, the knocks, the stuff that happens in life, especially when it's stuff that we're perplexed by and we don't understand. Instead of getting angry at God, we will realize that somehow, even when it defies our understanding, all things work together for our good. Because we love him, he loves us, and we are the called according to his purpose. That's the response of a soft heart, not a hard one. Hard hearts will rail against God when stuff happens. Instead of being healthy and whole, and able to love God, to relate to him, and love and relate to others in the way that Jesus did. Third and finally, I want you to see this. Christ is the living water that surprises. You know, our God is a God that surprises. The Advent season, there's no bigger surprise than what happened in this season of Advent. No bigger surprise in the whole of human history than that God would show up, that he would manifest his love. And that he would do it in the way that he did. We just came through a series that we ended last week that I called The Power of Yes, Taking God at His Word. And in that series, we looked at five Old Testament characters, men and women, and every single one of their lives, God surprised the living daylights out of them. He showed up and did things in ways that they just did not anticipate. The story of Advent is the story of surprises. The surprise of God coming in a babe in a manger, born in obscurity and ignominy, making his presence known to the world in simplicity and silence. The surprise of God coming to probably a 12-year-old girl who was then to conceive the Son of God through the Holy Spirit. The surprise of God arresting Joseph's heart and speaking to him in revelatory ways so that God's purpose could be fulfilled in that season of Advent. The whole story is filled with the God of surprises. Have you ever been surprised by God? I'm sure you have at times. Maybe that's not happening to you right now, but I know for many, if not for all of us, there have been seasons in our lives, times where God has surprised us. Surprised us with his affection. Surprised us with his love. Maybe when we blew it and we felt like, you know what, I'm not, you know, that whole routine of I'm not worthy to follow you. I'm not worthy of your grace. I'm not. At times of when we're fallen and we failed, and God sweeps in with his affection and his unfailing love, and he lifts us up and he says, you're my boy, you're my girl. I speak yes over your life, the yes of my love, because I'm for you. You think of a time when that love came out of nowhere, meeting you just as you were, at that moment, flooding your heart with an intense sense of his presence. The truth is, his love is always there for you and me. The problem really never is on his end. I want to say this morning, the love of God is there to us in every season, not just Advent. This speaks to what's typically true of God all the time, that his love is there for us. It's towards us. His love is there for you and me. And it's continually shaping our lives. It's like rivers. Have you ever stood in a river? And sometimes, like, we'll go up to Kangamangas Highway and Swift River there. You know how beautiful it is up there? And you have, especially in, you're up there in the summertime, and that cool water of the river coming down over all the rocks. And if you stand on those rocks and you look at those rocks, you can see how that water, year after year after year, has shaped and molded and formed those rocks into the shape that they're in now. The constant seeping of water running over those rocks, shaping them. That's what the living water does of God's love in our lives. It constantly is passing over our hearts, over our minds. It's shaping us. It's changing us. It's molding us into the people that God wants us to be. We simply have to cultivate a receptivity. Because unlike an inanimate object like a rock in a river, we got a choice about where we're going to be. We have a choice about whether we're going to dispose our heart toward God, how we're going to posture our heart. But I just want to say to you, in this season of Christmas, guys, let's remember the reality of the revelation of the expression of God's love in Christ and know that it's not about just that then. It's about here and now and the future in God. We need to posture our hearts so that the living water of God's love can just continually pass over it and shape and mold and form, and we can be touched by his presence and have our lives changed by it. So as we start this Advent season, that's what I want to leave with you and with me this morning. Let's stand together. Let's pray. I'm just going to pray. I'm not going to invite the ministry team up this morning, just with the dedication part of the service took up quite a lot of time this morning. So we're a little later than I would want to be at this stage. So let me just close with a